Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I reckon our next guest might win the RNZ Afternoon's Best Dressed Awards. He's wearing a very sharp suit. He's a scholar who can kick a ball. He's the leading goal kicker record holder in the Aussie Rules Victorian Football League. 883 goals. That will mean even more to you if you follow Aussie Rules football. He's studied around the world in China, Germany and the USA. But now he's in New Zealand. Nick Sortner is the CEO of Eden Park Stadium and he's here to tell us about some of his favourite things for bookmarks today. Kia ora.
Kia ora and thanks for your time.
And congratulations, you've got a little bubba on the way.
I do, yeah. So we're a very Kiwi family. We've been here now 7 years and we've had two daughters and a third, don't know the gender. It's one of those few surprises in life. So my wife's due in October, so very excited.
Is your wife an Aussie as well?
She is. So
does she take much convincing to come to New Zealand?
Well, it's been funny because she's a lawyer. She's the clever one, actually. But I think I'm the one that get to do the fun things like today. And I was working in Melbourne and had an opportunity to move to Perth. And then thankfully, Eliza followed. And then I had the opportunity to come to New Zealand to see Eden Park. And I saw a bilingual national anthem, a haka. I called her and said, I think we're moving to New Zealand.
Oh, that's great. And it might not have been an obvious choice. I mean, Eden Park is beloved by New Zealanders, but it's also a bit of a magnet for bad press and there's people talking it down and everyone knows it's, you know, sort of starting to creak a wee bit. And so that's quite a challenge for someone like you to say, I'm going to take this on as a project.
Well, I was fortunate enough, I had a mentor in WA and I sat down with a mentor and I talked about the opportunity of the new Perth Stadium or Eden Park. And he was always quite direct with me. He said, I don't know why we're having this conversation. He said, everyone knows Eden Park, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, South Africa. The pipeline of content that was coming through at the park, whether it be the Lions series or then the three Women's World Cups. And I feel very privileged and honoured to be the custodian of Eden Park. And I've even been escorted through Johannesburg Airport when on your little boarding card you have CEO Eden Park and you're treated like royalty. So there are certainly places around the world that it's revered.
That's the good stuff, right? But you must have known that you were taking on a bit of a political football as well.
Yeah, I feel at times that I've been a politician for the last 7 years. When you look at our consenting process, it was hard to believe it took 120 years for musicians to be afforded the same rights as sports people. And so I always said if I thought I was doing something wrong, I'd be worried, but I always felt that we were doing the right thing. And when you look at New Zealand celebrating suffrage 125 and being the first country in the world to give women the right to vote, this was something that I really had a personal connection with. I felt that we needed to be able to make the blank canvas that Eden Park is available to the creativity, the arts, culture and music, and feel very proud to have seen the evolution of the park over the last 5 years.
What's been your favourite day in the job so far?
I say to people, I get up every day, I think of my family, and then I think how I can make Eden Park a better place with the team that we have. We're a strategic asset for New Zealand, but a community asset for Auckland. And there's been some amazing memories at the park, and often people forget the evoking of emotion that arises. And sadly, a couple of years ago, Constable Matthew Hunt was murdered on the 19th of June, my birthday. And I was sitting in St Hilliers, and I don't know, as a father of a couple of young girls, you get quite, I suppose, reflective and emotional. My father passed away when I was two, and Mum dedicated her life to raising three boys. And I just thought, how would you be as the parents of Constable Matthew Hunt? And I reached out to the New Zealand Police, and then within a few hours, we were in discussions with the family, and we held Constable Matthew Hunt's funeral at Eden Park. We have a blue seat where he sat only a few days earlier. He'd been at the rugby at Eden Park with his mates, seat number 28, and he was 28 when he was murdered. So for me, 3,500 police officers on Eden Park, the only other ever funeral on the field was Jonah Lomu. I'll never forget that day, but also what it meant to New Zealand police, what it meant to the family, but also it just showed that connection that Eden Park has on so many different levels.
Yeah, great story, by the way. And I wonder, is there a bit of a movement to make it less of a kind of a one-off event, then the whole park closes down and then there's another big event, and more of this kind of ongoing part of the community and fitting in and throwing things in where you can, big and small, and just being more of a kind of a beating heart in Auckland City?
Without a doubt. If you look, if I was the CEO of an airport or a toll road and I was at 97% idle capacity, I probably wouldn't still have a job. Yet when I started, Eden Park was operating occasionally for a few events a year. And so part of our strategic planning was around increasing utilisation. And when you look at the park today, 70% of today's revenue and attendance wasn't with the business 5 years ago. So there's been complete transformational change, but also there's been an engagement with the community that's seen the hood being created. 97% of residents support the park, 350 businesses signed up to the hood, but also it's the local schools and how we engage with those local schools.
We did a Coldplay music feature a month or two ago, and the guy who took us through it was telling me how good Coldplay are in concert. Like one of those bands that you go and see, even if you don't think you're a massive Coldplay fan, like a really old school, memorable experience. You must be pumped about them coming.
It's been 6 years in the making. And for us as a family, Coldplay, I say they actually transcend generations. That our three-year-old, she loves Beautiful. Because of the puppet in the film clip. Well, then you've got something like Paradise that my daughter, my five-year-old Anastasia, loves because of the elephant pedalling a bike around Africa. And then my wife loves the mixing in with Avicii. So everyone has their favourite song. And we had close to 1 million tickets. The demand was so great for the three shows. And I'm sure we could have sold out five shows. But for New Zealand and Auckland to be able to showcase the venue and Coldplay, they're very big on sustainability. And that was one of the key issues when selecting venues. They look at what agendas that the venues have. And we've really led the world in terms of some of the work that we do in that space. So to have Coldplay perform, I was mentioned to someone outside that really each concert has taken it to a new level. 660, the first ever show, mid-pandemic, 50,000 people on Eden Park, and then take it forward and take it forward, and Billy Joel or Guns N' Roses or Ed Sheeran, and then recent times with Pink. So
been great concert, one of the greatest concerts I've been to. This again, not speaking as a Pink fan, although I had a couple of little Pink fans with me, but just a show, right?
And just International Women's Day, first ever international or artist, female artist to perform at Eden Park, the National Stadium. I couldn't get her to leave. We rebranded the park Eden Pink. She's downstairs. She felt so connected with the park and the appreciation. Oh, cool. So it was just so wonderful. Even my car was rebranded into Pink. My daughters were very disappointed when I got the stickers taken off.
And now Coldplay, so you want to go one better.
That's right. Mm. And let's hope that in future we can do 12 shows a year, because I'm sure the artists were queuing up to perform and showcase their talents.
Nick Sortner from Eden Park. Here's his first song choice, Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay.
Thank you.
Sky Full of Stars, chosen by Eden Park CEO Nick Sautner, and not just because Coldplay are coming. It's got a personal connection for you, that song too?
Yeah, it was very fortunate. It was our wedding dance. I've pretty much got two left feet. So at the time, I'd moved to New Zealand. Eliza was still living in Perth, and we were meeting in Melbourne organising our wedding. And so I think 2 days out from our wedding, we went and did a couple of rehearsals with Sky Full of Stars and didn't embarrass myself, but yeah, it's got a special place in our heart.
You've brought a book in called Good Company. Tell me about this one.
It's written by Arthur Blank, and it really sums up a lot of the philosophies that we've implemented at Eden Park. I was fortunate enough to pick up the book and I read it in 24 hours, what's a bit unusual for me because of the diary commitments. But he was one of the co-founders of Home Depot. Family Values started a pharmacy in New York, and then is now the owner of Atlanta Falcons, built Mercedes-Benz Arena in Atlanta, very much about engaging with the local community. And he talks about core values. And if you associate with good company, you get good outcomes. And there's also sort of new opportunities, old school values. And at Eden Park, we have a game plan that talks about values and behaviours being the benchmark on and off the field. But the first value is customer service. My first job was in a licensed grocer. I was 13. And we couldn't compete on price, but we could compete on service. You carry the groceries out to the car,
yeah,
and people would remember that service and come back. And so when I read that book, there were so many layers that resonated. So I hope you enjoy it and get as much pleasure as I did out of reading it.
Thank you. Do you think about your own values? Do you have you codified your own personal values?
Yeah, definitely. I think people often, when you look at some sports people, they have one skill and it's to either kick a ball or to, that is their skill in life. And my competitive advantage, I felt, I'm a non-drinker, non-drug taker, and I played in 7 premierships. And everyone would think that the historic perception of a sports person, and I always had a philosophy, if you believe you will achieve, but also it takes a stronger person not to conform. And so whether it be my sporting life or business life, those values have resonated. And it was instilled by my mum. I look now as soon to be a father of 3, but I know the support that my wife gives me. I know the support that the community gives me. Well, for mum, she was by herself and she had to find a way to raise the 3 boys and give us the opportunities that we did receive. And I'm very fortunate as a result of that.
She's still around, your mum?
She is. She's 78. She's having a few challenges at the moment, but in terms of resilience, I think that's where it's in my DNA, thanks to mum.
She must have been proud to see you achieve what you did in sport.
Yeah, she even just to the point for me personally, mum was the first at her school to ever receive 5 honour colours. And but then she got married and pretty much that ended her sport. Whereas you look now today and even reflecting on the last 5 years at Eden Park, women's sport 5 years ago in New Zealand was referred to curtain raisers. And now the last 5 sellouts at Eden Park has been women's sport.
Oh, that's great.
So,
no drink, no drugs. I have to ask, I don't want you to dob on your teammates here, but there must have been times when you won a big match in Aussie rules football when everyone was boozing apart from you, presumably. Was that kind of a strange time, or how did you deal with that?
Yeah, it was. I think there's probably some players that are fortunate that it was the case, going on football trips overseas, having someone who could negotiate with individuals as a result of it. I mean, it really, you want people to be able to enjoy themselves and relax, but be responsible. And I often would be the last home and the first up. But I think that's just, again, it comes down to the personality trait and just high on life.
Yeah. Tell me about this book, The Traveller.
Traveller is, it's about life and learning. and the importance of time. And it was actually, I was in New York and walked into a Starbucks, and it was on sale there. And I read it whilst I was waiting for my coffee, and I ended up, I went back and bought 10 books.
Oh, wow.
And unfortunately now, it's not reprinted, so I had to buy secondhand on Amazon a copy from both daughters, because it is such a, it's a fable. It's only, it's a 5-minute read, but it really is, you can travel the world, you can experience many things, but the importance of family and time is something that people should always reflect on.
It's a graphic novel.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. Jerry Seinfeld turned 70 this week.
I heard him on the radio, and I thought to myself that every episode of Seinfeld is related to pretty much every chapter of anyone's life. And you think of like the extremity of Larry David, and then Jerry has been able to keep in his lane.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to see him at Spark Arena a couple of years ago.
Me too. I was at that gig, yeah.
To have a comedian that, I don't think he swore once.
No.
He just had the ability to just engage a crowd. I mean, it must be the most profitable touring artist in the world.
One guy.
Plus
an opening act.
Microphone and a black curtain.
particularly given the prices he's charging for the latest tour.
This is it. And you just think that, I mean, these people over life, over your journey, and you think, how could you actually get to the point where you go, I'm going to actually make a show about nothing and then just continue to resonate?
Yeah. So we're talking about TV, of course, and Seinfeld's a favourite show. Do you get to watch any AFL from over here?
I do. I still keep an interest. The thing for me is now when you watch rugby or other sports, AFL's a long game. It's a 2-hour game,
yeah.
Quarters of 30 minutes. So I don't probably get the time to watch full games, but it still gives me the opportunity to connect back in. And I was in Melbourne visiting Mum last weekend, and a lot of people still – first and foremost, think of you as the footballer rather than whether it be the CEO of Eden Park or the father.
What was your team? What was sort of the where'd you become famous?
Yes, yeah, so I played with Sandringham in the VFL, who are aligned with both St Kilda and Melbourne. There's still actually a couple of players playing in the AFL that I played with, so I take a keen interest in those teams.
Yeah.
But during my time, the professionalism probably wasn't there, so you had to make a decision between your career or your study and playing sport. And I'll always die wondering as to what I could have achieved, but at VFL level, I'm very proud of the achievements.
You keep up with your fitness?
Try to. I think everyone, COVID has a lot to answer for, including for people falling off the gym bandwagon or the daily exercise routine. We've got a rescue schnauzer that I take for a walk most nights, and running around after two daughters keeps me pretty active.
Okay, but no booze and no drugs. And so what's your vice then? Are you got a sweet tooth, or what was lockdown for you? Indulging in too much of what?
I am a carnivore, and I do like my lamb cutlets. But
great, okay.
I also do have my coffee on a regular basis. So that was one of the hardest things, not to be able to get a takeaway coffee at around the corner like I do most mornings.
How many people do you employ at Eden Park?
Well, full-time basis, it's about 41.
Yeah.
But on a casual basis, we have up to 3,000 employees engaged on an event day.
And I get the sense that those 41 people will remember the day you showed up. I mean, you must have come in like a whirlwind.
It is something that I often talk to friends back into Australia, and I say there's no doubt people in New Zealand are kind. You look at the competitive nature between Sydney and Melbourne. People in Melbourne say Melbourne is the best state in Australia, and people in Sydney say Sydney is the best state in Australia. So I do think that I've adapted my personality and also management style as a result of the beautiful country and city that we live in. But it has...
You mean you're not too hard on people?
Yeah, I'd like to think that I have tempered perhaps.
But you have high expectations.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. As part of our game plan, we talk about exceeding expectations. And often when I'm at an event at Eden Park, most people are enjoying the experience. I'm thinking we have X number of days a year to make money, but also it's we're providing an opportunity for escapism. And a lot of people invest a significant amount to actually attend Eden Park, so we need to make sure that we provide them with the best possible experience. And so that's the focus for us. Like any business or any individual, you're never going to be perfect. but we're a city of 1.7 million people. The number of events that we have is limited, so we need to make sure that we maximise those experiences when people come and also the memories that they have.
We've talked about some of your successes. Any artists that you wanted that you missed out on?
I think you remember a few years ago that Phil Collins was an opportunity at Eden Park. And I was fortunate enough, unfortunately he couldn't come. We didn't have consent at the time, so I went over to Brisbane. Just a phenomenal show. The other one that I think was quite memorable was I went with my wife to Wembley Stadium on the Saturday night for the Spice Girls. And the Spice Girls performed. The majority of the crowd were still in their outfits from 20 years ago. I was in my suit. People were thinking, who's this bloke?
Yeah.
And then the next night was Fleetwood Mac. So those two artists, if we could get Fleetwood Mac or Spice Girls performing, and I still think the Spice Girls may tour, yeah. It would be phenomenal.
Did we have any shot at Taylor Swift?
Certainly. I think the Taylor Swift scenario is a great example of how we need to get change in our consenting, whether it be Taylor Swift, NRL State of Origin, or a New Year's Eve festival. We need the flexibility to be able to get these artists. And there's no question that artists see New Zealand as a place where they want to visit, but they've still got to have the commercial model that works and also the time in their schedule. So I do think in future we'll see Taylor Swift, hopefully sooner rather than later.
We're going to play a quick track from an artist called Emma Memma. We'll play the track and then Nick's going to tell us why he's chosen it. If you're all good with that one, Sonia in Wellington, let's take a little listen.
Hello, how are you? Hi, hello. How are you? Hi, hello. How are you, love? It is nice to see you. Hello.
Who is Emma Memma?
I was going to ask the question to you. Do you know who Emma Memma is?
No. Well, I've got a photo that my producer Ayana's just sent me. A beautiful photo of Emma, the Yellow Wiggle.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Emma was Yellow Wiggle, and she, a couple of years back, decided to create her own character, Emma Memma. Emma Memma is one of the very few artists globally that actually performs in both singing and signing at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And she is just a phenomenal person. And the photo you've got there is actually, I sit on the Santa Christmas Parade Trust and I reached out and said, and I'd had the opportunity to meet her when she was touring with the Wiggles, and we'd kept in contact, and she's just such a wonderful friend to my girls as well and role model. And I reached out to her and said, I'm on the Santa Christmas Parade. Would you mind being part of the parade? And she paid for herself to fly over with her husband and then went and performed at a number of schools free of charge.
Gosh.
And then participated in the parade. But it was quite a long day, and my three-year-old, by about the start of the parade, whilst Anastasia was waving, the five-year-old, Amelia was yawning. And about halfway through the parade, Amelia fell asleep underneath Emma's dress, and Anastasia and Emma waved to the crowd. So she's now got her own character. She does some wonderful work across various communities, and I'm very fortunate to call her a friend.
You're such a busy person. Why would you put your hand up to do something like running the Auckland Parade?
Auckland's a great city, and we've been here now for 7 years. We have no aspiration in leaving. I know a lot of people go the other way, but I think there's huge opportunity for Auckland. And for me, events like the Santa Christmas Parade, it's been 90 years. It costs about $1 million to put on that event. So we, thanks to the likes of Farmers and various other partners, it's one of the, or probably the largest, free event for families in the country. Over 120,000 people attended last year's event. So it gives people those opportunities to come as a family to the city and experience. And so I'm fortunate I sit on a few boards, and the Santa Christmas Parade is one of those.
So it's about investing in the city that you've chosen to live in.
Great. Yeah, definitely. It's a great city, and we need to get back to where we were 7 years ago.
What's your preferred future for Auckland? What will Auckland be famous for?
I've said this comment before. When I came to Auckland, I said to someone, what should I do? And the comment was leave. And I was so offended because I thought, Auckland, there are icons of Auckland. The clock tower at the university, the War Memorial, Eden Park, Kelly Tarleton's, Devonport. There are these amazing tourist attractions, and I think we actually need to be proud for our city and advocate for our city. And rather than sending people down to Rotorua or going to other places, we should actually get people to appreciate the city that we have. And the opportunities, the city of sails, the water that we have. Like, I'm furious that the America's Cup was lost to Auckland. It was such a great opportunity. We had an event during COVID. It would have been great to have it then to get that international exposure. So we want a city where people want to live, stay, work and play. And that's part of my role to contribute to the town.
Outside of Auckland, you've generously nominated a few favourite places, including Tanzania.
Yeah, I mentioned about my wife. Before we moved to Perth, and I said, "What's something you'd like to do?" And she said, "I want to go and teach in Tanzania, volunteer teach in Tanzania in a place called Zanzibar." And so we went over there, and we spent a month there teaching students in Zanzibar. Wow. And it was just a phenomenal experience. I then later went back and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro for prostate cancer. About a month before our wedding, and my wife's father said to me, he said, "Have you been prepared?" And I said, "No, I've got muscle memory from my playing days." And he said, "You realise 1 in 1,000 people actually die, and half the people don't actually make it." And I said, "That sounds like pretty good odds." And he said, "Not really." So I was pleased that I made it back, and we were able to get married.
Congratulations on what you've done with Eden Park so far. Yeah. Good luck with Coldplay. And any hint on who else might be coming in the near future?
We've got a number of artists in the pipeline, and looking forward to making those announcements and giving people the opportunity to have that escapism.
Yeah, you considered a career in politics?
As I said, I think for the last 7 years, I pretty much have been.
Good stuff. Nick Zortner, CEO of Eden Park, in for Bookmarks today.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.